Hi, Caitlin. It's good to see you.
Hi, you too.
Married at First Sight. It's the most watched reality TV show in Australia. I think you found out 16 million viewers this year, half the population.
Yeah.
Extraordinary is that people love it. But what's got people really worried about the show as well?
I'm sure many of our listeners are aware there have been some very big allegations that have come out of the UK spin-off of the program aired on Channel 4, allegations of sexual assault. Then separate to that, we have seen MAFS Australia, which obviously isn't connected to the UK program, in the spotlight more in recent years than it has been in the past for all the wrong reasons. There have been participants of the program that it's come out after filming that they have had historic allegations of, you know, domestic violence in some instances. And there have also been scenes that have aired on the program that have made people really uncomfortable and brought up, I think, uncomfortable questions about toxic masculinity in Australia and coercive control.
In the UK, the men have denied the allegations, and I believe there are investigations happening by Channel 4 over there. But here, are some of the issues around the blurring of lines then to do with consent? Is that essentially where the focus has come in?
Yeah, exactly. And of its representation of relationships, is it showing a positive and healthy representation of relationships? And I think that's really important in the context of society today when we are seeing things like the rise of the manosphere, which is a very, very real and live issue. And I've spoken to people, experts, on these topics that have said from lines that they've heard on MAFS, it does seem like some of the participants are very aware of the manosphere in language they've been using about, you know, traditional gender roles and, you know, wanting a wife or a match that is happy to sort of stay at home and raise the kids. Fine, if that's your idea of a positive relationship, but at the same time, it's easy for that to then go into a darker territory where it goes into dominance and submissiveness. And I think that's why it is a really interesting kind of experiment, but also a window into where society might be at the moment.
I wonder if a lot of people would say, oh, you just don't like reality TV, but you do watch reality TV, but this one is a little uncomfortable in terms of viewing. There's something very odd about the premise itself.
Absolutely. I mean, I am a self-confessed lover of reality television. I consume so much Real Housewives that you can even read about it in The Guardian. But it's this program, and I think a lot of dating shows just don't sit right with me, particularly with MAFS. I mean, the whole premise is you're marrying a stranger and then sharing a bed with them. Like, that's a pretty weird way to set up a program. But then I also feel like dating shows, almost kind of as we've gotten further and further into reality television being sort of part and parcel of our day-to-day lives, are almost separated from the aim, which is to meet and fall in love with someone. I think a lot of it now, you know, you only have to look at the success rates. You're not actually going on there and finding the love of your life.
Are the success rates quite low?
So I think I looked it up while I was researching the story. It's like less than half a dozen out of hundreds and hundreds of participants. So
they end up
still with their partner. Yeah.
There's also, I found something unusual in that for entertainment, you normally have actors, they're reading a script, there might be intimacy coordinators.
Mm.
These are real people, perhaps being intimate with other real people for entertainment.
And in a very heightened and, I guess, vulnerable situation, just by virtue of the fact that, you know, this isn't a normal situation that you've been thrown into. On your first night, I was quite shocked to find out you don't have cameras in there with you. You are just sharing this quite intimate experience with someone you've only just met. Sure, that might turn out well, but at the same time, they're throwing you into these quite intense situations. The pressure's really high. Everyone's saying, are you intimate? Have you been intimate? And then you're kind of competing in a way against the other couples at the same time. You're sort of on trial almost.
So people are put into a bedroom on the first night. Mm. They're in the same bed. There's also things like intimacy week.
Yes, intimacy week, getting them to do these sort of various challenges to see, you know, if they can get closer and closer to each other. One of the really problematic, I think, components as well that they put the participants through is ranking how attractive, physically attractive they find each member of the opposite sex, which is just something you wouldn't do in a real relationship. And then, of course, there's also the very premise of the show is that both of you have to say that you want to leave. I guess, I mean, when you look at a real relationship in reality, if one person wants to leave that relationship is over. Like, you don't need both people to be in agreement. You just need one person that doesn't want to be in the relationship anymore. Whereas this is basically saying we both have to agree to end the relationship. And if one person does want to leave but their partner doesn't, they're still in this situation where they have to stay with them.
They're supposed to stay on the,
exactly,
on the show.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of the production processes and some of the safety elements, but what do the show creators say about the allegations?
Yeah, so a spokesperson for Nine did say that, you know, the welfare and safety of the participants on the show is their utmost priority. They said more specifically that they had worked with Safe Work New South Wales and engaged fully and transparently with them. Over, there have been, I think, 5 investigations conducted by Safe Work New South Wales over some of the things that happened in 2025, and they prioritise participant welfare is what they've said.
Let's go through some of those production processes. Do we know if people, particularly the men being selected, is there any vetting procedure?
In short, yes, there is a vetting procedure, and it's supposed to be rigorous. It's supposed to obviously see if you've had any police history. Obviously, they need to check your identification. But there have been questions raised over how well they are actually doing this, because it has been multiple instances. Even as late as this year, a couple was pulled from the show because it came out that the male participant had historic domestic violence allegations. You've had people that got on the show and then were pulled, you know, midway through or a few weeks in when it came out that they had said really misogynistic things and homophobic things online. It happened in 2025 as well, noting very importantly that this participant who was facing domestic violence charges, they were dismissed in court. But still, you know, you wonder if that's a risk that you'd be willing to take. And I think the other side of things is that at the end of the day, this is a TV program, right? It's about entertainment. It's about getting views. And devil's advocate, you could argue that having someone on there with, you know, a very big, maybe controversial personality will get a lot of eyeballs. And even a lot of people consume maths now just through sort of TikTok and short clips. And sort of the more egregious and wild what this person is saying, the more clicks it's going to get, the more debate it's going to encourage. So it's a difficult one. But at the end of the day, you really shouldn't have someone on reality TV that a simple police check they don't pass.
My understanding is people don't get to keep their phones. So then they're sort of out of touch with friends and family. So what kind of support or expert help does the show offer those people?
Yes, so the show does provide a welfare team, and there is a psychologist that is on offer as well, and they also have security if you require it. The difficulty being that the psychologist is employed by Nine and Endemol Shine Australia. Some people that I've spoken to have said, you know, I did access that psychological support and it was really helpful, but it only sort of goes so far. They also can receive access to a psychologist after filming, but that's obviously limited. It's not going to continue forever. As the show is airing, they're also not able to be posting their own content. It's all managed by Nine and Endemol Shine. So they also don't really have control over their narrative while the rest of Australia is viewing the program.
You mentioned controversial personalities on the shows, and we've seen politicians weigh in about that. Tanya Plibersek has reacted to one of the episodes where a male contestant talked about wanting a submissive wife. What were some of the concerns around that?
Yes, this was particularly controversial and really did create a lot of headlines at the time. He was talking to the, in quotation marks, experts, about his match, who's quite a high profile real estate agent, and he was worrying that she wasn't the, in his words, submissive type. So he went on to say that he wanted to be the man of the house, that he didn't think there was anything wrong with wanting to be the man of the house, and that every woman wants that. And I mean, in response, the host did kind of start laughing and even said, you know, it sounds like what you're looking for is a dog. So there was some pushback, but it created a lot of headlines, a lot of controversy, because obviously saying I want a submissive person, that can be really concerning and again can link to sort of manosphere ideas.
So the criticism was that this was platforming those ideas.
Exactly. And then he later went on to clarify that he meant he wanted someone more traditional rather than submissive. But I mean, at the time, Tanya Plibersek, the social services minister, said that MAFS was actually mainstreaming coercive control. And she later told Guardian Australia for this article that we should be concerned about normalising behaviour that could be demonstrating these very problematic sort of aggressions towards women on a national platform.
I thought it was interesting with that same contestant that there was a part of the show where his views were challenged by a psychologist. I mean, those views are out there, and I guess the show is representative of the world we live in. Are there some people who say, well, at least this is a chance to challenge those views as well as platform them?
Absolutely. I mean, I spoke to a former producer of the show who said that, and I think what is so interesting to think about is, are they just holding a mirror to society and what society's views are at the time, that these people are out there, that they do hold these views? And is it a good thing for these to be aired in a way that perhaps the experts might push back on some of the particularly unsavory views? Or is it kind of being manufactured and exacerbated by putting on these particularly controversial characters? And also, should we just not be platforming these views at all?
Well, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, they have been involved in investigations into the show. There have been complaints. Has anything come out of those investigations?
Yeah, so they've had 10 investigations since Married at First Sight first aired in Australia in 2015, including separate allegations last year that the show had themes of domestic violence and coercive control. But no breaches to ACMA's code of practice have been found. And it's also important to note that a lot of these investigations were over whether the show is classified correctly, so whether its M rating is correct. They've all been concluded for now. And there's also been Safe Work New South Wales investigations that have also been closed.
And there was a police investigation into one of the incidents, I believe.
There was a police investigation. That was last year when one of the participants punched a wall during an argument with his match. That was off camera, the wall punching, but it was publicly discussed in the program itself, and the aftermath was as well.
And we should say here, there are former contestants who say they've had positive experiences with the show.
Absolutely, including the, you know, handful that are still with the person that they actually met on the program. You know, not everyone was matched with someone that they just felt uncomfortable to be around. Though at the same time, there are NDAs that last, as I understand, for a couple of years that do prevent what former participants can discuss.
So what has been the response from the Australian makers of Married at First Sight to all these complaints and allegations?
Yeah, so Nine and Endemol Shine Australia, who also work on the program, noted that they'd welcomed working with Safe Work New South Wales and had engaged fully and transparently with them throughout their investigations. And they also said that participant welfare is always the primary consideration in every work, health and safety decision that they make.
We'll be right back.